Mao kept to the side and let the president, Liu Shaoqi, run the country. Even Mao knew that the economy had to be protected from his revolutionary zeal for the time being. So more cautious targets were set. Large communes were abandoned. Chinese peasants were allowed some land again and could sell their produce in free markets. They were allowed to live as families and return to a more normal life. Revolutionary rhetoric was toned down. There were fewer slogans. But Mao was biding his time. He feared his revolution was losing steam, and he was losing control. He saw a privileged bureaucratic class emerging, as had happened in the Soviet Union. He feared the return of capitalism and materialist incentives, and believed China's chance to have a perfect socialist society was passing. Mao's supporters printed a book of quotations from his political speeches and writings and used them as the basis for a new attack on what was called the capitalist road. We still have to wage a protracted struggle against bourgeois and petty bourgeois ideology, said Mao. As he tried to regain power, Mao used a piece of spectacular political showmanship to revive his reputation. To demonstrate his vigor at the age of 72, he led a mass swim across the river Yangtze. The thousand-year-old Beijing Opera was Mao's next target. He wanted to break the thinking and attitudes of old China, and he began with her traditional culture. If the opera could be changed, then anything could be. 8 new revolutionary plays were written to replace the old stories of emperors and concubines. Dong Xiangling, who once played princes, now played an officer in the People's Army.
I was chosen to play this revolutionary role, and it was a great honor. As artists, we were engineers of human souls. We didn't just perform to earn money, but had a serious responsibility to re-educate people. We were so happy that Chairman Mao was creatively involved in this opera.